audio player box,
the children's audio play box, Tony Box, is a successful and widespread model with content hosting and data collection, lots of data collection. And we have four speakers here, Prius, Moritz, Badby and Gecko. And they want to introduce us into the topic. And the first time this year and today, they have met for the first time here. And 4 years ago, they met each other for the first time. And this is the first time they meet in person here on this stage. Thank you. I hope you are here because of the Tony and not because of the iPhone research hack. This is in Hall 1. You're not in the wrong hall. Oh, that's great. Lots of people here. Welcome to the Tony's talk. Who knows about the Tony's box? Okay. All right. Who has one at home and has no children?
Okay,
all right, this will change because we really liked this Tony box. I don't have to explain a lot about what it is. Those who don't know this, it's an audio player for kids, which has no display and has really only two buttons for changing the volume, and there are these figurines, and there's a little NFC chip. I can tell you that now. There's not really a tape in it, an audio tape, but if you put it on top of the box, then it plays the audio play, and you can buy these for 15 or 16 euros. And it's if you buy the license with that, I don't really know, but you can hear the audiobook with that. And we want to show you what the idea of this talk is and why do we want to talk about this Tony box. And I talked about this figurine. It's really the only way to play this content. It's the only way to play the content connected to this box, and you cannot really choose freely which content you want to play from your own CDs that you have bought before that, or my Benjamin Blümchen collection that I had bought for my children in the next generation, and to play them on the Tony box. So there is a way to work with creative Tonys, so-called, and you can buy them for 12 euros and record 90 minutes on that, but you remain trapped in the Tony universe. And you remain dependent on the company of Tony's. So if you, they're going public right now, and should they become bankrupt in the future, then all these functions of the Tony's were lost, because the whole box is completely cloud-based and all the contents are controlled by an app, by a web application, and downloaded from the cloud, and there are no independent possibilities. Let's talk about the hardware, and I would like to hand over to Moritz, who talks about the hardware variants. Yes, I will give you an overview of the hardware of the Tony box, and if you look inside, what you find inside. It's really straightforward and clean. If you disassemble the Tony box, you can see on the top left, there's the battery and the loudspeaker below that, and the PCB in the middle, and on the right side are the buttons hidden in the ears for controlling the volume, and the PCB on the right side is the NFC antenna. Okay, so the Tony Box PCB is really clean. It's a four-layer board, and it is only on one side, the elements, and it has 82 test points that are really enumerated, and there's an onboard Wi-Fi antenna. Other than that, it really makes a solid impression. It's really nice, and you can repair that. If you really messed it up during research, you can restore it easily. And so let's look at the PCB in some more detail. We have the black is the microcontroller. On the version 1, it's a TI, a Texas Instruments chip, and we have the RFID IC. It's an acceleration sensor. If you hit it, and the box will know that, and the audio chips on the left side, and a small flash memory, and the SD card holder on the bottom. And there's a charging regulator, and a DC converter, and LDOs for creating voltages for the. So they seem to have having technical trouble in the hall. We can still hear them, but it seems the PA has gone off. So there's no sound in the hall, I think. So there's an unexpected break there.
Ja, aber ich möchte das nicht strapazieren.
So,
ja, genau.
So, okay. So there are interfaces in the widest range. It's an RGB LED, a headphone jack, battery plug, and the connector for the ears, for the buttons, and for the loudspeaker on top. And for research, there's a debug interface, there's a tech connect interface, a tech connect. And let's take a look at the microcontrollers. There are three different microcontrollers, and there was the TI-CC3200, but the chip crisis also hit Tony, and there was a few boxes with the CC3235. And the current boxes have an ESP32 chip and are equipped with that. Oh, okay, so there you can see it. So this is the CC3200, and we called this version 1 and version 2 of the hardware. And version 3 is quite rare, and this is the current version 4 with the ESP32. And a few details about that. And this one is quite widespread, as I said. This has a tech connect interface, and you can read the flash memory. This is unencrypted and unsigned. And the CC3200 tool can be used for reading and writing. And with the Hacky Box, we made a custom firmware and a custom bootloader, the Hacky Box NG. And the CC3235 is rare. The Tech Connect debug interface is locked out, and we can use an SOP8 clip and access the flash directly. And you can find that the certificates are unencrypted, but the firmware is encrypted and signed. And with the CC32 tool, we can manipulate the flash dump and look at it. And this is the current box. This has a UART interface, and with the ESP tool, you can really access it. And so another technical problem apparently in the hall. So we're back. Okay. So I'll finish this quickly. There's a proof of concept firmware with ESP UINO, and we made an open source replacement firmware which already has the most functions of the original firmware, and we call it TeddyBox. And this concludes the hardware, and I give back.
Thank you, Moritz. I hope Tony's isn't cutting our mic here. Let's talk about functionality. How does this box work? Contrary to what my parents believe, the audio isn't stored in the figurine. It actually comes from the cloud. The NFC chip only identifies it. The Tony box sends that information to the cloud and fetches the content from there, but it also has an SD card. It's usually an 8 GB card that stores the audio files that have already been downloaded, so they're available in an offline mode. So it's not preloaded, it has to be loaded from the cloud and from the Wi-Fi. These audio files tend to be in this 60 MB range. The content is fetched by placing the Tony figurine on the device. It reads the UID of the tag. If the content is not on the SD card, then it initializes the download process and stores the file on the card. How does the NFC chip work? In the bottom left, you see the chip that's built into the figurines. It's a 10 mm ferrite rod with a copper antenna, 21 windings, and on the head of this, there's an NXP SLIX -2 chip that has plays a particular role because it can't be detected. People have tried accessing these figurines with various readers, but were unable to find out what's on them. We'll talk about the privacy mode later, but this is a comparison. Of course, we try to get our hands on our own chips to work with our own custom tags. Look towards China, of course, tested a lot of variants, none of them worked, until we found the SLIXL tag as the only usable chip. But on the way, we also found fake SLIX chips that we identified in our analysis. NXP found this very interesting. We sent them some of these fake chips. The media have been writing about how these chips have been infiltrated by hackers who downloaded the newest data sheets of these chips to produce their own fake copies. This crossed our paths. Here's a comparison of the two chips, and under the microscope you can see difference in how these are built, but that's not particularly interesting for our purposes. I've already explained the privacy mode, or I've mentioned the privacy mode. What does it mean, Gego? It sounds very ominous, but it's a special mode of these chips where they're put into a silent mode, and it reacts to nothing except for the command to unlock from this privacy mode. The method behind this is very special. It's a very high privacy, very high security level. Not you request a random number and then send a response, and it's very trivial. This is the mode that is being used by these figurines to become invisible to accessors from mobile phones. The box, of course, knows about this method, requests this random value, returns the XOR encrypted value, and afterwards the tag is accessible in the same way as any other tag. Then the UID is requested, and the memory contents of the figurine are requested. These are 8 blocks, but the box tries to request 9 blocks. This is only to work out if it's a fake check that contains random data. The UID is stored, and the block content. The box then locks the figurine again and only uses it for presence detection. This happens when you place the figurine on the box, and within half a second the box starts playing music. What happens if you remove the figurine while it's being read? The figurine then is readable as any other NFC tag.
Magic.
Das hat jetzt nicht viel mit Hacken zu tun. Also there's not a lot of hacking involved. Yes, there is. A child could do it. Whether this works as intended by the company that developed it, we have no idea. But after you've done this, you can read it with a phone, but you cannot emulate it. There was the rumor that we'd broken this chip, that we've cracked this chip with a knocking hack. That's not true. Afterwards, it only does presence detection. When we look at this decrypted chip, you can use sysinfo to check what's in the UID. Yeah, it's an extra UID of a real Tony, and if you do a memory dump, you have these 8 blocks with the memory contents, and we can. These don't contain the music, they contain the UID that was lasered into it and random memory contents. We didn't find any structure to it. You'd have to look at thousands of Tonys, but who would do that? If you were to do that, you would find that it's indistinguishable from random data. But this has allowed us to identify the figurine, and now we can use the usual tools like Proxmark. But it's not quite that simple, because we've learned about this privacy mode. It has to be deactivated. All right, well, we'll reverse engineer it. Proxmark is a well-known hacker tool. It didn't implement the unlock feature. You also can't send the commands manually either, because the field of the NFC tag has to remain active during the request of the random and the setting of the password. It's quick to implement, though. We just sent a pull request. Emulating this is the next step. We extended our fork with the emulation and also implemented that. I don't know if any of you know the Flipper Zero. It can do NFC emulation. We also implemented the unlock feature there, but emulating is a different story. The chip that is built into this device cannot emulate SLICS. It can't really emulate NFC V fields, but it does have a pass-through mode where you modulate the strength of the field from the microcontroller and get the reverse modulation of the NFC chip via a pin. So why not? Let's bit bang ISO 15693, and it doesn't sound great blocking a microcontroller for all this time. It takes time.
And you can do a few pre-calculations, but we would need 160 kilobytes of RAM just to do the calculation. So we played around with ring buffers and just in time calculations, and in the end we even launched a pull request with the people with Flipper Zero. And in the end, the Flipper Zero tells the Tony Box it is a Benjamin Blümchen Tony figurine. With that, we had the perk unlocked, and we could emulate the NFC, and we can do a lot of funny things with that box. NFC, as we learned, we can emulate it. We know what data goes in, what data has to come out, but there's also the SD card. What is on the SD card? So it's very easy. The card is formatted in FAT32, so we could read it out. The folder structure is fairly simple. Numbers, folder names with a simple file. It just looks like a random number, but we realized the numbers are not that random. They are somehow related to the UDID, and we could use it as file name, and so based on the folder name and the file name, we could conclude what the UDID would be. So we look for custom tags that have a UDID, and we first try to just rename it. And in the offline mode, we could play them back. So what else is on the SD card? The file itself is on the card. So when you look at the file itself, there are 4 kilobyte blocks with various content. The first one was just buffer information that was just to the Tony, chapter markers, and an audio ID and a hash value. We didn't find a clear name of the Tony box or an order number or something that would identify the content. Otherwise, we only had the audio ID. And that would fall out as a Unix timestamp in the end, but we couldn't see the content itself. The other 4 blocks are ARC outputs, files, very straightforward, simple audio files. So we just had to cut off the first block, and we could use the ARC and the outputs files straight away. With that information, we started just converting our own content into ARC outputs, replaced the header, and tested that on the Tony box. And big surprise, we could display it the same way, and we could play it back the same way. So what are we going to do with that information now? The ARC Opus blocks always had to be exactly 4K. We always had to make sure the last block is ending in that 4K block. It must not end in an audio file, otherwise the box would stop playing back the file. So now we had the file analyzed. We wouldn't say decrypt because there was nothing to decrypt, but we know how the RFID is working. So what are we going to do with that know-how? Let's just build a little software that allows people to play back their own content on the box. So, Teddy Bench. First, we need access to the SD card. And now we take a look at how the Tony box is built and how easy it is to access the SD card that is built in. The bayonet close, so ideally you just press it on a hard floor, turn it around, and then it jumps out. Just one screw to unscrew. Big greetings to the hardware designers. I never saw a product that is as easy to repair and to maintain as the Tony box. It's also great to mention this. It's great. There's no glue, no clips, so it's very easy to take it apart and to get access to the components. And then you just take the card and you put it into an SD card reader, and you can work with that. So, what is on there? We know there's a bunch of files that we can't really work with. So we started with building a database over all audio IDs we could find, and try to map them to the UDIDs, to the... So now we have 1,100 Tonys in that list mapped to their order number.
So I don't know, there's a Müller with the shelves full of these Tonys. I never saw 1,100 of those, and that's because Tonys are so successful now. They are in the UK, they're established in the UK, in the United States, very well established in France, and also there's a Hong Kong edition now, and there are quite a few similar Tonys, but in different languages. Between the English and the American Tonys, there are differences. And this information, we collected all this information, and we're really thankful to the community for obtaining the hash values and the audio IDs. And we can use this information in our software to really display the correct icons in our software. So, as you can see, the software can read the SD card and can show the entire content, and then it allows us to do lots of things. For once, there's a simple step. The UID correlate the UID and the audio file, and you can see that below there, and the tags all will begin with E0043, that's the standard identification of the EFC, and all those bytes are the unique ID from the Tony Cloud. And all these IDs are assigned to the audio files in the cloud during production, but we can change this assignment. And we talked about privacy, about the privacy mode, and so here we have in the Teddy Bench, we have an integration of the Proxmark and just connected via USB, and for identification of the UID, you can simply read the tag from the Proxmark and you can read the UID and assigns it to the audio ID, and you put the SD card back into the Tony box, and then you can successfully, with a custom tag, we don't have audio? So, sorry, doesn't matter, but you would hear a nice Bavarian kids song, which is not offered by Tony in this form, but it works. And I can assure you, this is a piece of a children's train to which we have glued an NFC tag, and the box easily plays it. It was the first time we met in person today, and we are organized in a Telegram chat group, which has 800 community members now. They are all messing around with it, and we have some examples here. And we have these Pawn Patrol figurines, and they were made before Tony offered these officially. And furthermore, who had 40 Tonys taken on holidays, who knows how much volume they take up if the kids want to carry them along. And so we had the idea of making a travel Tony or a coin token, and we just have a 40 millimeter coin shield and put the NFC tag inside it, and you can see the blue ring in the bottom, and there are little disks in the magnet, and they have the exact content of the original Tony that you have at home, and then you can save a lot of space when you're on the road. Here you can see the travel Tony, its component parts, and these are just these coin tags, and we have 3D printed tags or laser cut tags, and everyone has their own favorite method of wrapping the content in a nice way for the kids. And now we heard about two aspects, but then there's the cloud, and we'd really like to talk about that. Yeah, I'll take over, yes, thank you. The cloud is built up quite simple, if you understood it. The road to that was rather rocky, but it's really just HTTPS, and the authentication is done with a client certificate, instead of username, password, and the box also checks if the counterpart is really the Tony server. Otherwise, so we just can't do a man in the middle, but with a changed certificate we could do that. And the first part of the interface is just a simple get, and we get the current time of day from the server, and then we can load firmware updates. And then we just talked about it, the Tony figurines have some memory, and that memory is used as a password, and over the V2 content interface to download that, and then also so you can see the Tony image if you open the app. And there's the version 1 interface without authentication to download system sounds. And the third block, this is the most interesting, the freshness check. If you press one ear quite a long time and the box does something and then pings, and then the box checks which content is current and marks the not current content for deleting, and then you can just delete it. If you have creative Tonys, you can delete your own content and then you have can reclaim the space. And we completely understood the Tony box and all doors are open, and we thought, what can we do with all our knowledge? So we built our own cloud with a little bit of C and a little bit of side of Docker, and then we have our own Tonybox cloud server, which sits between the Tonybox cloud and the Tonybox, and it looks perhaps like this. And of course the tonys.json is used again, and the use for someone who is tech savvy is quite simple. If you only need to download the certificates from the box, and the certificate authority replace the certificate authority by your own certificate authority of the Teddy Cloud server, and you can via a TUF file from created with Teddy Bench, or via the web interface, you can create your own files and download to the Tony box, and there's a pass-through function, but you can also put in an original Tony, and then the content is stored in our Teddy Cloud, in our own cloud, and downloaded to the Tony box. And as a little goodie, we have an ESP32 function, but we need physical access to the box, and this doesn't really work via the network. Would be nice, but that's currently not possible. And we saw in the firmware that there is a second domain between the domain for the data communication, and that is RTNL. And this function is called everywhere in the firmware, really everywhere. And you press the button, press the ear, and there's a request sent, and you put a figurine on it, and there's a request, and you change the volume, there's a request, and it's all encrypted. And if you install it first, the interesting data is transmitted. And we really thought, we already have the data, let's do something with it. And we really put it into Home Assistant and in MQTT. So again, that the same thing in action, and we put that on, and the data is downloaded, and there's the name on the LCD display on the bottom, and the next Tony, same game, the same show, and this one I don't know, It's the toilet here, it's a really funny Tony, and the LEDs blink, and a little custom tech that doesn't play anything, but can trigger your own content from Spotify or so, and you can even change the volume of your own hi-fi with the ears, if you like. Okay, so I give back to Gecko about data protection.
It's all safe, it's all encrypted via HTTPS. Tony's have a privacy policy. We looked at it in detail, and it contains quite a lot. But before we talk about that, let's summarize. There are several domains: the prod.de.tbs.toys. It contains the contents and firmware, and then the bxcl domain contains protobufs and all of this, but it's all apparently in accordance with the GDPR and hosted in Germany. So it, but it's weird. You place a Tony on the box and it gets locked to the cloud. You change the volume and it's locked. You press a button to skip a chapter and it's logged. Wi-Fi information is logged to the cloud. You can be, you end up being very glad that it doesn't have a microphone, because I have no idea what would happen then. Privacy policy is a wall of text, but the interesting parts of the privacy policy is this section that explains very in great detail when you use your Tonybox for the first time. When you push a button, something is being sent, everything with the client certificate and IP address and timestamp. During use and during the setup, Wi-Fi IDs are being logged, SSIDs are being logged. This happens during setup. So it's all safe. I mean, who cares? It's a one-time thing. And apparently all the information is being transmitted anonymously. But as soon as you give them your Tonybox ID, it can be linked to a person. As an informatician, as an information scientist, this is pseudonymous, not anonymous, but I'm not a lawyer. So let's have a look. What's in this Tony cloud? There's real name, box ID. Let's send them a GDPR request and see what comes back. And they promptly, within 4 weeks, gave us collected this information, sent it to me, and confirmed what I already knew: my email address, my name, the Tonys I've got. But what about all this other stuff? Ah, well, it's in accordance with the GDPR. Check. But hang on, there's information with Wi-Fi IDs, key presses, and so we sent another request where we explicitly asked for this information from this server, and they said no, it's all anonymous. Every row in this database, I imagine it looks something like this, only has the box ID and not my real name. That means it's not personal data, it's anonymous. Well, great. So this is in accordance with the GDPR, apparently. I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, I have to believe it. But hang on, you don't have to be an information scientist to realize that there's a way to combine several tables, like with an SQL outer join, maybe? No, as I said, it's in accordance with the GDPR. We're not lawyers. This is not our field of expertise. This might be true, I have no idea. But then we noticed something else. There were these names in these RTL logs. There were like SSIDs in our vicinity being sent. ESP32 has this way of creating a fake SSID. So let's do it with our box. What happens when the box sees these SSIDs? Bam! All the information that you can see here is being transmitted. This is my guest Wi-Fi, which I never gave to the box, but also these fake Wi-Fis, if you can read this and so on, are being transmitted, but hell, it's all anonymous apparently. But if you don't want this information to be constantly transmitted, you might want to use some alternatives. And we prepared some alternatives that we would like to mention to you now. Hackybox and Hackybox NG is the custom firmware and custom bootloader that we wrote for the for the 3200 chip. This is more of a proof of concept. You can download custom firmware to the flash and to the micro SD card. It's really useful. You don't always want to open up the box, connect the tag connector and so on to change the firmware, and it's useful for repairing a box because you can check if the audio interface works, does RFID work, is the battery all right. You can do a 24-hour test, check how long the battery lasts. A bootloader would be great as well, and we implemented that too. We said, all right, we're going to install a preloader in the flash of the box that simply writes one file on the microcontroller, and you can now change things on the micro SD card. You don't have to change the flash. You can also start the custom firmware, and then you can also do live patching, so the original firmware is still there. You can activate the patch as you want in a config file and say, hey, privacy mode should remain turned off and not be turned on again. But we also have other tags. I'll call them the SLI group. There's, and it removes the check by the UID group, by the blocks, so you can use all the blocks. You can hard block the cloud if you want, and you can change the URLs and the certificates of the cloud, and it allows you to use the original firmware and the custom firmware and the custom cloud next to each other and switch easily between them. You know, as you all know, children tend to be in a hurry, and if you want to sleep at night, the Tonybox has to work. Next block is about modding and repairs. Here are some impressions. In the center here, there's a home-built battery pack. On the left is the typical problem if you disassemble a box for the first time and where things break, and we like to help you repair your box if needed, because we know quite a lot about how it's built. We have the RGB ring at the top right as well. Someone from the community said, all right, I'm going to build a ring. I want my box to have some pretty lights. This topic was very dear to my heart. We had a request from the community, from Toro and the little daughter, who are unable to use the Tonybox 100%. You usually have to hit the box and tilt the box to skip tracks, and due to bodily impairments, they were unable to do that. Electrically, he's pretty savvy, but not with the hardware part of the box. So we ended up building a microcontroller, an emulator for the accelerometer, and added some buttons to the box that would allow you to skip the tracks.
Further, today, Bluetooth audio mod, there's a pre-made PCB. You just have to add a few small cables and wires, and you can see that on his blog. If you're curious, just take a look at that. And I'm heading over to Gambrius. So now all four of us have spoken now, and we have so much content, and we're running out of time. So therefore we didn't introduce ourselves so far, but I'd still wanted like to introduce the team. So let's start with Gego, who did the reverse engineering of the hardware. Many hardware reverse engineering. This is Badby. He worked at the custom software and helped with the hardware reverse engineering. And he helped me in figuring out the data management and build up the database. And started with me the Teddy Bench, what you saw earlier. Moritz, he was the man who made it possible to repair the Tony boxes, because he identified the chips even before we met them. He had a complete list of these, and if I would take a look at your files, I would find the PCB. And he's the reason you won't find a defective Tony box on eBay anymore. When we started, you could find some for 10, 15 euro that were just like cosmetical damage, like broken ears and whatnot. That was very helpful for us. But up until now, it's basically impossible, because thanks to our documentation, the community is able to repair them, and and everybody is able now to repair their box at home and can continue to use them. I don't like to introduce myself, but I manage the communication, and I took a look at the NFC and the data management. I tip my hat in front of all of you for the software work, because I only watched that part and did a little bit of testing. But I think as a team, we mastered that challenge. It's impossible to do that alone, so we need a community, and I would like to thank the community every members of the Telegram channel, especially Blue Musgul. Also at Nuot, who wanted to do a talk on audio boxes and reverse engineering, but he had to withdraw because he wanted to give the stage to us. We also would like to thank Aronia AG, who gave a lot of the hardware. Some of the works would not have been possible without them. The field measurements and to find some smaller box. Also thanks to Lab for One, who donated a Flipper Zero to us, and thank you very much to the entire Telegram group. Everybody is helping each other, and a special thank to Philip, who's always like, just briefly before Christmas he published these pictures of the PCBs, and he's always busy, but he managed to do that briefly before them. And RFID friend, who supplies us with NFC tags and helps us out if we failed, and he's able to deliver the original RFID tags. And here you can find a few more contact information. You can ask I'll just take the picture of the QR code and try to register what decks. We will most likely be here until the end of the Congress for the rest of the week. Don't hesitate, just call us, text us, and I think we're going to start with the Q&A session now.
Yeah, vielen Dank. Thanks a lot to the Tony Box people, and sorry for the audio dropouts and their silent fire alarms, and the PA is put down for the, and it's only in the hall here, the stream went through, but there was just the audio is muted then in the hall during the silent fire alarm, but so sorry about that. So there's time now for questions. So there is one in the, from the internet. So the first question from the internet is, can you, for example, the firmware of comparable audio players, for example, ESP Ueno, can that run on that hardware? Yes, I tried that. I ported ESP Ueno to get acquainted with the hardware, and it runs rudimentary, but not really very stable. So we have really been implementing TeddyBox and make our own firmware that replicates the original firmware, but adds additional features, for example, for inclusion. And for another remote control. But ESP Ueno runs, sort of. There has need to be some tweaks, but we should emphasize that there is no hardware ESP Ueno box that is so cheap. You can get that for 79 euros or something. There's charge management, charger, and all self-made solutions are much, much more expensive.
Good, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Microphone number four, please. Okay. Yes, you said you reverse engineered the firmware. If you use the ESP32 firmware, what software did you use? Because Git, there's no really good extensions there. For the ESP32, we didn't really do a lot of software reverse engineering, but we have used RDI Pro. It's a plugin for the extensor microcontrollers. I think it's a Python plugin. It runs for me, and I looked into it a little bit, but it's just look at it a little bit. But the functionality was the same as with the CC boxes. The peripherals isn't offered there. You have to really look and read the data sheets, but it's pretty straightforward. And the debug function with unique IDs, you can always see there's a debug message, and you can look at that in the coding. And the CC boxes, I also did that with the same tool. Okay, microphone number two, please. The question is, if you have used this RTNL domain, just block that, how does the Tonybox behave? Is it strange, or it just works? It is data privacy friendly, and you can block it, and it's quiet. Then you can, and that works. Yes, thank you. Is it right that you can also block individual songs on the Tony, and there's a filter if one song really gets on your nerves, so you can block just that one song? Is that possible? We cannot directly block track 4 on this Tony. Is really difficult to do, but if you really use and just delete the audio part and put it back onto the device, then it's possible. Yeah. So then operate it in offline mode, then the privacy is fine, and then there's custom content is then possible without restrictions. mic number 4. So you sent a GDPR request to Tony. Was there any further contact or any complaint to the regulators? So maybe that is going to be changed. The first part, yes, I sent them another request and I told them how I got the data, and they really had two legal people for me, and they talked to me for an hour, but they really couldn't say anything other than it is compliant with the GDPR and there are no personal data or indirectly personal data, but there is no court decision, and therefore that is not personal data. But that was the only contact that we had, and we really had a request if I could talk to someone who can really tell me anything substantial, and that was 4 weeks ago, and there was no further response. But I also sent a request a little bit later and asked again, but I haven't received a reply so far. It's interesting. Maybe we'll see what happens in the future, but there are two further statements about the RTNL data. When we asked how we could see the log data, and they said, oh, that was really difficult to really send them all, and they really said those were proprietary data, and so it was because it was anonymous except the box ID, so they were their own proprietary data. So from external, from the internet, there's another question? No? Then mic 3, please. Is there a limit for the size of the SD card, or can I put a terabyte SD card in it? We really experimented a bit, and it depends on the box. The first variant is very picky, 64 gigabytes or even 256 gigabytes works, but not every type. Depends on the manufacturer. The SP32 is less picky, and you can use different cards, and you can find the cards that we tested, but the size is probably not really relevant. It's always FAT32, just a simple Windows formatting, nothing fancy. So now there's something from the internet. The internet wants to know, the log files, are they collected offline and are then transmitted when the box is back online? No, logs are transmitted in real time if there's a connection, and if there is no connection, then nothing is transmitted, nothing is stored, there's no cache or anything. So if the box is offline, then no data is collected for that period of time. Everything's only in real time. Mic number 2, please. So this RFID privacy mode, is that really a special Tony thing, or is that a standard? It's a standard. It is used in the clothing industry, for professional clothing, and whoever was in a works council or in a big company talked to the works council, and they really really want to make sure that employees cannot be tracked via their clothing, and so this special clothing tags can be deactivated, so the employer cannot really track the pants, for example, and only the maintenance or the laundry company can really give them back to the correct employee. But now these really use a new standard, that is XNL2, and there are also now Chinese magic tags where you can change the UID. So in theory, you could create a Tony clone but for the first version that doesn't work, and the version 2 chips cannot be used. They could 28 memory blocks. The Tonybox really inquires explicitly the 9th block, and there needs to be a certain error message because the old chip only has 8 blocks, and so they make sure that only this very special old hard-to-obtain chip is used, but it is not a function that was especially developed for Tony. So one last question at mic one. Would you say that the Tony box as such is a cool product? It's just strange corporate decisions, but it's otherwise a cool machine. Yeah, hardware is really fantastic, really. I use it for development, and I use it with hardly any changes. And my daughter has lots of Tonys and lots of Tony boxes, and I really said initially I don't want that, and then I really started looking into it, and we really came together like that, and it's really, really good product. There's really nothing against the idea and the concept, and the company really has a nice story to tell, and they have a great product that really feels very well, and so we really are big Tony fans. It's just that we have a private hobby that looks deeper into it, into the background, and it's really a lot of fun. Yes, thank you very much.